Pastor Ray Bentley points out, godly obedience changes things.
Literally, when you and I decide to come into obedience to the Word of God and the revealed will of God, literally everything in the universe, including nature, is helping you so that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Nature is on the side of the Lord. Are you with the Lord?
Spreading the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. How many times have we given some credit to Mother Nature, when really the credit belonged to Father God? The God of heaven is also the God of the universe, earth included. And today we'll discover that nature often does His bidding. We'll see God uses the natural to complement the supernatural.
Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 10. We're following the example of Joshua and the children of Israel, who finally, after generations, are putting their feet on the land that God promised to them. And they are conquering it for the kingdom and the glory of God. They're an example to you and I. We're to put our feet on the promises of God, over 7,000 of them in the Bible that are ours. As we put our foot upon them and activate them, all the blessings of our inheritance in Christ come to us. But in this story, you're going to find that Joshua looks up one day and needs to extend the day, and he looks up and he commands the sun to stand still, and then he speaks and commands the moon to stand still, and the sun and the moon obey the voice of a man. And that is the story that we have today. So I only have three life lessons today, so this is going to be the first one, and then we're going to read the scriptures that describe this. When the heart of the Father tells us to defend the enemy. Now, this is a very interesting thing. We've been talking about the Gibeonites, and now all of a sudden, the Gibeonites, remember, they're the ones who lived in Canaan. They heard that all these other countries, you know, or kingdoms are falling. Jericho has fallen. Ai has fallen. They know they're next. So they deceive the Israelites. They dress up in old ragged clothes like they've been traveling for thousands of miles, and they let their bread get moldy, and they go, "We've come a far, far journey." You know, so I went into all of that. So they come and they deceive them. "We're from far away. You can make peace with us." They make peace with them, and then they go, "Surprise, we're your neighbors here in Canaan." Well, now all of a sudden we find that there are these five kings of the Canaanites. They go, "The Gibeonites betrayed us. They're now on the side of Israel." So five kingdoms, five kings, five armies decide to go and destroy the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites come running to Joshua. "Hey, we're with you now. You have to protect us." And that's exactly what happens in Joshua 10. So beginning in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem," so this is the Canaanite king. Of course, later David will come and bring Jerusalem under the banner of the Lord. But the present Canaanite king, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it. As he had done also to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon, their Canaanite neighbors, had made peace with Israel and were now among them. They'd been adopted and accepted into the Israeli community. And that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai and all its men were mighty. So the reason they want to take and attack Gibeon is they had one of the largest, most powerful, wealthy, influential kingdom cities within the Canaanites. And they're thinking, if they made peace with Israel, then there might be other Canaanite tribes that will also make peace with Israel. We have to stop this, or we're going to lose everything. So in verse 3, it says, "Therefore Adonai Zedek, the king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, the king of Hebron, Piram, the king of Jarmuth, Japhia, the king of Lachish, and Debir, the king of Eglon, saying, 'Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.' And therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it." So here's an interesting situation. Put yourself in the place of Joshua. The Gibeonites lied to them and said, "We're from over the border." No, not really, but we've made a peace covenant with them. Joshua, so now you've got all these other Canaanites that are going to come wipe out the Gibeonites. Joshua could have seen this as an opportunity to get out of a very difficult situation. He could have let the Amorites do to them what Israel could no longer do. Oh, fine, they're Gibeonites. Let them wipe them out. But the Gibeonites have essentially committed themselves to Israel and to the Lord. And as we talked about, the Gibeonites literally become kind of as Gentiles graft into the community of Israel. They become servants in the house of the Lord to the Levites, literally within the temple, going all the way to when they had to go to Babylon and even return. The Gibeonites returned with the Jewish people. So they are enemies who have now become family. So what this is teaching us is that even in the Old Testament days, outsiders, Gentiles, who forsook their gods and idols and become believers in God, can be grafted into the Jewish family. It was almost like the church in the Old Testament. So making a covenant with Israel has literally set now the Gibeonites against their own former people, the Canaanites. And as I was thinking about all this, I mean, you know, I think of Jesus. When Jesus came, even then, you know, the rabbis and the Jewish people, they said, "No, we're the saved ones. We have the covenant with God." And they looked at everybody that was an outsider. "You can't come in." And they're enemies to the Jewish people and to the laws of God. Jesus comes as a rabbi. He taught like no man had ever taught before. He taught with conviction, with passion, with power, and with authority. And what did Jesus say that no one had ever said before? What did he say about enemies? "I say unto you, love your enemies. I want you to love them, that you might win them, that they might come to know the Lord." Now, I've got a scripture in your notes, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Let's read it out loud. "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ." That's the gospel. So just to remember, we were outsiders, now we're insiders. We have to remember and show love and grace and mercy to the outsiders that are among us, as God would give us the opportunity. Now, here's another interesting thing. So here's Joshua leading the children of Israel. They're taking possession of the land and their inheritance, and they took off, you know, they got Jericho, then they get Ai. And now the enemy, spiritually, is saying, "We're going to lose everything. We're going to, you know," the enemy's going, "I'm going to lose all my people who are worshiping our gods." And remember that, let me just tell you briefly what study I have done about the ancient Canaanite civilization and why God was so severe only during this one time of the Canaanites that they were to be conquered and to be destroyed and their cities burned. The level of demonic activity, it was more than just wrong behavior. It was wicked, it was evil, and on a weekly basis, they were taking babies and sacrificing them on stones that were lit up with fire and melting them in their flesh before their gods. God just said, I'm done. I gave them 400 years to repent, and now we're going to start all over again. So the enemy realizes, now we're being conquered. God is with the children of Israel. So they band together, five of them. I want to let you know this. The moment you get serious about your walk with God and you go, I'm going to press in a little bit. I want more of all that my Heavenly Father has for me. The devil is not going to like that. He's going to unite and get a confederacy to stop you. See, instead of just one, now there are, it's like five going against one. And you go, no, now it's 5-1. Well, here's the good news. God has already told them from the beginning, you're going to win every single battle, every single time. Yeah, but God, now there's five against one. He goes, well, instead of you having to do one at a time, we're going to just collapse five kingdoms of the enemy at one time. So let's go to the next life lesson. Here's number two. Oh, I love this one. An often misunderstood aspect of obedience is its ability to be used as a weapon of spiritual warfare. I want to have you read with me verses 6 through 10, because what happens is that God tells Joshua, you're going to battle against these guys. You're going to defend the Gibeonites. You're going to defend the outsiders who have forsaken their idols and who now are part of the family, Joshua. And Joshua is obedient. He leads the armies of Israel to defend their former enemies, and as he is obedient, the enemy comes crashing down. So verse 6, it says, and the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp at Gilgal, saying, do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them, all of them, you might say all five of them, into your hand. Listen to this. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Not even one of the enemy will be left standing when you go, because I am with you, Joshua. So in verse 9, Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly. If you have a pen or a pencil, underline the word suddenly. When God gives you a direction, when God gives you commands, you obey as fast as you can. Joshua didn't dither. He didn't wait. He didn't say, let me think about it. I got to, you know, think this through. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. He used the plan and the strategy God gave him. If you remember when they went back the second time and conquered Ai, God gave Joshua a strategy. He said, do a surprise attack starting in the night. What I find interesting is this time God doesn't have to tell Joshua to do the surprise. Joshua's got it now. It's a weapon in his own arsenal. I'm going to take the enemy by surprise. So verse 10, so the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azekah and Makeda. Obedience. Joshua's obedience. This is the seed that I want to plant within your mind and hearts. When God reveals what his will is for you, do it. Just do it. Like the Nike commercial, right? Just do it. Do it now. Do it fast. Do it suddenly. In our modern world, obedience is a bad word. Obedience. Oh man, that means you're, you know, subservient in some way. I want you to know this, that in the kingdom of heaven, obedience is a reflection of honor. Obedience means that you are honoring the position of God as being God, that he is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, he knows all things, and he is using all of his power to bless you as his child, and therefore, without any fear, once he's revealed what his will is, you just do it with all the gusto that you can. Hallelujah? And you obey passionately. Now, we, you know, teach our children that they should grow up and they should obey their parents, they should obey their teachers, they should obey their leaders, they should learn to obey authority in some manner or another. Read with me Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Let's read this out loud. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So in the context, he's talking about, first of all, God wants, it's in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. Obey, basically, your father and mother. Through them, you learn how to obey God and surrender to God. And all the structures of authority, that's what keeps society together. Obedience is not a bad word. It's a spiritual word. But I want to add this to you. In the kingdom of heaven, the word obedience is a secret weapon against the devil. James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read this scripture out loud. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of you realize we're in a spiritual warfare? From your conception until your last breath, I got to just tell you the truth. You have an enemy. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. The devil hates you and has a horrible plan for your life. And the battle is for your mind. Who are you going to come into agreement with? Either the word of God and the will of God, or be deceived by the enemy. So having said that, how many of you want in your life to have the secret weapon that makes the devil afraid of you and flee from you as far and fast as he can? Would you like to have that? Here's the secret, James chapter 4, verse 7. Obey the Lord. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will, here's the result, flee from you. Amen? Okay, let's go to the last one. One final life lesson. And this is the coolest part. This is the whole story ends with the sun and the moon obeying the voice of a man. So here's what we learn. When we obey God, even nature works on our behalf. All right, so chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. And it happened as they fled before Israel. So they're winning, just like God said. And they were on the descent of Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. And then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, listen, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that, before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Wow. Now that is wild. A miracle happens. The hailstones came at the very time they were attacking their enemies. That's the first miracle. The second miracle is the hailstones only came on their enemies and not on the children of Israel. That is God. And how did this miracle happen? You know, it says here that time kind of was stopped and the sun stayed and the moon stayed where it was, and it was like a whole extra long day. Why? So Joshua, he had five enemies that are running five different directions. He needed time for the mop-up operation, take care of it all. So he goes, sun, stand still, moon, don't move. So he had an extra long day. Now, that is a miracle. Now, somebody, you know, some people say, well, I can't believe in that. I don't believe in that. But look, if you're a Christian and you already believe in the virgin birth and you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, let alone all the other miracles Jesus did, why should we wonder about this? In fact, here's what's interesting. There's a guy, how many have heard of a guy named Albert Einstein? Remember this guy in the 1920s discovered something in science, and it's called the theory of relativity. And what he discovered is time in the universe is actually relative. Space and time are not solid. So we're not locked into a stopwatch concept of time. The Bible was true thousands of years ago when it said a day can be like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day. So God somehow miraculously stretched it. What I find amazing is that nature came alongside the men of God to accomplish the will of God upon the earth. So this is powerful. Literally, when you and I decide to come into obedience to the word of God and the revealed will of God, literally everything in the universe, including nature, is helping you and works out so that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. On the other hand, if you choose to rebel against God, reject his word, and walk in disobedience to his will, all of nature itself will be against you. Nature is on the side of the Lord. I'm with the Lord. Are you with the Lord? Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you and I thank you. Lord, this is an amazing story. It's an incredible story. And I pray that you will just encourage everyone that by their desire to walk in obedience with the revealed will of our Heavenly Father, that all of life, in fact, all of the world and nature and the universe is in concert with us, behind us, supporting us, that you will be glorified. We will be vindicated. Our enemies will be defeated. The devil will flee. And God, you will receive all the praise and all of the honor and all of the glory that is due your name. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with great encouragement from today's study in Joshua here on Maranatha Radio. And you know, you can hear today's message on CD. It's a study called Nature is on God's Side, and we can send it to you for just $7. Contact us and mention the title, Nature is on God's Side. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Joshua on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. I recently read a review, and it said, the book leaves you wanting more. This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Joshua. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.